to warnings that precious taonga are not able to be cared for adequately because of a squeeze on funding. Museum and heritage leaders say they are caring for important historical national treasures, but outside of Te Papa in Wellington, there's no government funding for this work. They say they're also struggling with inflation, a downturn in visitors due to COVID, and some museums cannot afford conservators or collection staff. They say if funding is not addressed, collection pieces could fall into disrepair, galleries close, or important education outreach to school children be stopped. Ian Griffin is the director of Tuhura Otago Museum, whose conservation managers recently moved to another museum in London. It cannot replace her, which will directly affect the care of national treasures. Kia ora, Ian.
Morena, how are you doing?
I'm really good, thanks. With me in the Te Whara Whanganui studio in Wellington is Adele Fitzpatrick, who's Chief Executive of Museums Aotearoa, Te Tari o Ngā Whare Taonga o Te Motu. Adele has done a lot of very in-depth research around the value of museums and will be talking to us in just a moment. Nice to have you here. Good morning.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Ian, you say Tuhura Otago Museum could be a poster child for the failings of the present funding system. Please explain.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a perfect storm for us down in Otipoti, Dunedin. Thanks to an accident of history, our institution is blessed with a wonderful, wonderful collection, more than 1.5 million objects, ranging from, you know, a really large collection of Lepidoptera, which we just acquired, to amazing cultural material from across the world. And we're running that with a very, very small ratepayer base down here in Otipoti, who basically expect us to run the museum on about $4 million of public funding every year. So to actually do a lot of the work, we have to generate a huge amount of income through commercial activity. So it costs about $8 to $9 million a year to run our museum, to be able to kind of pay the staff to do the work that we need to do. And it's kind of difficult, really, to kind of give the standard of care that you would expect for some of these incredible objects. Things like the moa footprints that we recovered from the Kyburn River a few years ago, moa eggs, all sorts of wonderful stuff. We literally have a collections team less than 11 people, and we're trying to service the needs of all of these objects. When you combine that with researchers coming in from around the world, all over New Zealand, who want to study our collection, there's a bit of a logjam because we literally don't have enough staff to service the needs. And when you couple that now with the rising appetite for repatriation of taonga across the country, which is iwi coming to us, I think there's about 7 or 8 iwi queuing up to ask for repatriation of material from our institution. We've literally got 2 people working in our Maori team. So the pressure on us to try and service these national needs is enormous. And unfortunately, you know, despite the best efforts of Dunedin City Council and the other councils that fund us, the ratepayer base we have isn't enough to service that need. So we think something needs to change, because otherwise our institution's going to be squeezed to the extent that we will literally have to stop doing things.
Are you able to care adequately for all of these artefacts and taonga now or not?
Bluntly, the answer is no. And I'll give you an example. We have, as I say, 1.5 million objects. A large number of those objects aren't protected by sprinklers. We're in the process of trying to put sprinklers in, but to actually fund those sprinklers, we have to fundraise. It's a tough gig, really, to try and get all this stuff done. And part of the problem that we have is there's an operational problem paying people's salaries, but there's also a maintenance and renovation of galleries challenge as well, because with 9 galleries across the museum, each one, well, the youngest gallery we have, the one that was renovated most recently, was done in around 2000, so it's 20 years old. And to renovate a gallery is, you know, $1 to $3 million a time, and finding that money is very, very difficult. So again, these challenges are the things we live with every day. We do go out, we do fundraise, but the tauka and the taonga are just not really being cared for at the standard that you would expect.
So if you said you had $4 million in funding, ratepayer funding, if I heard you correctly, and your costs of running are $8 to $9 million, how do you make up the difference?
Well, we work very hard to generate the money commercially. We hire out our venue, we run a cafe, we run a shop, And obviously, we charge for admission to our science centre, Tuhura. And that money basically covers the deficit. It's a business model that's we've had to develop because we are, we're a small city at the bottom end of the country. We've had to kind of be entrepreneurial, really, to be able to cover these costs. Now, you could say, well, just live within your means and just live within the $4 million a year. What that would mean is probably cutting the staff by a factor of two, and it would make the problem even worse. And of course, COVID has impacted our ability to generate income from tourists. So all of these problems have created what
All
I
right.
would consider a perfect storm.
So this is universal for institutions across the country, right, with the exception of Te Papa, and we'll talk about that in a moment, because they're all facing the impact of numbers down during COVID, as indeed is the National Museum. They're all facing inflation costs. So what you're saying is we are just, one of many who will be facing these issues. What do you say with respect to the current funding model? Just explain how it works, first for the National Museum, and then how it's different for regional museums.
Well, the National Museum is funded by taxpayers from across the country, so everybody contributes to that, and it's brilliant. I mean, we're all very proud of Te Papa and the work that it does. Institution like mine is funded partly by ratepayers and partly by the commercial activities that we do, and through sponsorship and grants and that kind of thing. And then other museums may be fully funded by their local councils, by the ratepayers as well. So there's a funding mix across the country, and I'm sure Adele can talk. She talks to all of the museums across the country on a regular basis. She can say that this is just not a problem in Otago. This is across the entire country, and
Okay,
I
so
walk
before I
them
leave you, Ian,
country
what do you
too.
believe needs to happen?
Well, I think we need a change in funding model, and actually recognition of the importance of museums. We're not nice to have; we're necessary. If you look at the education work that we do, many of us we've done an economic impact assessment of our institution. We bring $25 million a year to the local economy by employing 122 people, and we're a major tourism asset. We also educate loads and loads of children, and part of the national education structure. I was interested to hear your last speaker, by the way, talking about the importance of science, technology, engineering, and maths. A lot of learning goes on in museums, and again, that's not funded by national. That's not funded nationally. That's a local thing, apparently. And
Okay.
I would argue it's a national function we're performing.
Ngā mihi, thank you, Ian Griffin, who is with Otago Museum. Adele Fitzpatrick, as we said, is with us, has done a lot of research. She's Chief Executive of Museums Aotearoa. A common story?
A very common story, unfortunately, Catherine.
Many places with even smaller ratepayer bases. In
Many.
fact, we've spoken to some of the smallest regional museums who have precious taonga, and they are related to place. It's not just, oh, let's just move our collection here. They belong in place. So when you look at how we fund this, do you have a comment straight off the bat that the funding structure needs to change? It can't sit with local councils.
Central government is missing from this conversation, aside from Te Papa, but they're missing from supporting our regional museums and galleries, which are so very, very important. They're all protecting taonga, they're all educating children, and education is a function of Ministry of Education. We commissioned Burl to conduct some research into the value of museums and galleries using the Living Standards Framework. And what that showed was the formal educational benefit that we deliver back to the Ministry of Education on its behalf is $24.6 million. Yet our institutions are only funded to a very small fraction of that.
How does Burl reach figures like that? How do these economic analyses happen? They often have a sort of an extrapolation going on. But when you're talking about the day-to-day education of children, how can you reach a figure like that on a national basis for benefits to education?
So there are 906,000 school visits every year to museums and
That's
galleries.
individual children.
No, that's visits.
Visits. So it
Visits.
might be one class going two or three times.
Yes, that's right. So, and it might be a couple of visits a day. So 906,000, I think, is actually more children than what are in New Zealand. So it
Of
is
course.
number of visits throughout the year, and the benefit of actually that time and the cost of that is what Burl has used in their research. So they're all very robust measurements.
How do you put dollars and cents around benefit of visiting a museum? Put Bill to one side. You make the case of the value of that investment.
It is. It's where kids go and learn about culture, about their own stories, about science. It's where young minds make decisions on what they're going to do in the future. So all of these things are of incredible value to New Zealanders. And we all remember jumping on the bus, don't we, and going to see the local museum and the impressions that those things have left on us.
It's impact that you're talking about. It's not the amount of time, it is impact.
It is impact, and it's also time.
What about beyond education? You seem to be angling for the Ministry of Education to put up some money here. If you go beyond that, where else would you make a case for central government funding?
Tourism. So we know that our museums and galleries are incredibly valuable tourism assets. So if we look at the numbers, there are around 4 million international tourists that come to New Zealand. This is pre-COVID. 1.9 million of those make 3.9 million visits to a museum or a gallery.
Is it heavily skewed towards the like of Te Papa or perhaps the Auckland War Memorial Museum and perhaps Otago? Is it skewed heavily towards a few institutions?
It is skewed towards the big ones. So Te Papa, Auckland and Canterbury, I think, are the most commonly visited. But there's also Rotorua. There are the regions where visitors will travel to. The cruise ships go into Gisborne and get off and go to the museum. So there's a lot of value there and as a tourist asset.
As central government funding goes to Te Papa, who is that funneled through? Is that Ministry of Culture and Heritage? Is it various departments? Who is it?
Ministry of Culture and Heritage.
Okay. And is there an argument to be made that it ought to be spending more broadly than the National Museum?
A very strong argument, and that's been put forward by the sector for many years. What this Burl research does is put some numbers around that we can put forward to other ministries and make the case for Ministry of Education providing a greater amount to support our educators within museums and galleries.
Does it pay some already?
It pays a very small amount. There was an amount of $5.2 million under the Learning Experiences Outside the Classroom contract. That changed last year to a different format. And I think there's around probably $2 million a year has gone from our sector.
Now I'm starting to see, I'm also starting to see small museums having to buy a whole bunch of administrators and accountants and others to make funding bids to Wellington.
Funding bids are tricky.
How bad is it for some of these institutions? Literally, I'm amazed that anywhere doesn't have sprinklers that has a number of visitors coming for starters, let alone assets to protect. But are many of them in even worse shape?
Many of them are in pretty bad shape. Even things like air conditioning. So if you can imagine, if you've got a large collection of natural specimens, the quality of air and how you keep them is really important. So air conditioning, it sounds really boring, but it's incredibly important to a museum. You know, and buildings and collections don't become more efficient.
Is this relevant right now with respect to Auckland Council's budget cuts? Is it a significant funder of Auckland-based institutions, and are they shaking in their boots right now?
That is a very relevant conversation, and it's a conversation that's happening with many councils. And, you know, why should it all be on the ratepayer? Central government does need to contribute where we are delivering value back to functions that we perform on central government's part. It shouldn't just be about be up to the councils.
Central government's doing lots of bread and butter at the moment.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But I would say that education and investing in tourism is also bread and butter.
Is there a relevance to the forthcoming budget round? Do you lobby? Will there be some applications made, say, through the Ministries of Education and Culture and Heritage to try and boost some funding? Or is this a plea saying we are essentially cut off from the supply of funding and it's getting harder and harder and now is the hour?
Currently it's the latter. Yes, it is the latter. And, you know, there's kind of a plea here also to the public. Politicians respond to public, what they hear from their constituents. And we know that, you know, museums and galleries are such important parts of our communities. So communities, please do tell your MPs and politicians that the sector is important to you.
Thank you both of you for your time this morning also. That is Adele Fitzpatrick. Earlier I was speaking to Ian Griffin.